Grace and peace to you in the revealed mystery of God's grace for you in His Son, Jesus Christ. The portion of His Word that we study this morning is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of His power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that He has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him. The mystery genre is one of the most popular forms of literature. We all have our favorite mystery books, I suppose, or perhaps mystery series. What makes it so popular to us? Well, I looked to try to answer that question, and I found a website that listed some of the must-haves of a good mystery book. Some of the items on that list include a gripping first chapter, a human hero, a page-turning pace, a lot of clues, a spectacular twist, an elegantly simple solution, and a story you want to read again. You might add something else to that list, I suppose, of something you enjoy in a good mystery book, but I think we can probably all agree that these are components that make a mystery good. Today we get a text from God's Word that has the theme of a mystery. What makes a mystery in God's eyes? How would He use that genre in His book? Well, you can actually take each of the qualities listed of a good mystery novel and apply them to the story of salvation. A gripping first chapter, yeah. A human hero, yeah, and even more. That human hero was also divine. A page-turning pace. Some of us may wonder at times when we read the Bible if it is indeed a page-turning pace. There are many sections that could perhaps bog us down, but you have to admit, the Bible is full of action-packed stories. Perhaps maybe we're just used to them a lot. Lots of clues. Absolutely. The Bible calls them prophecies. Definitely a spectacular twist where Satan thought he had defeated God when he killed his son on the cross, only to realize that that was the very way that Jesus would defeat Satan. An elegantly simple solution. We'd have to say yes when it comes to salvation by grace and faith, not by works or effort. And yes, finally, the Bible is indeed a story worth reading again and again. Sounds like God's Word might actually be a good mystery novel. Perhaps in some details, perhaps in some ways, but we also know the Word of God is a lot more than that. The Word of God is not a novel. The Word of God is not fiction. And yet we see the clear theme of mystery here in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. In this chapter of Ephesians chapter 3, we have the idea of a mystery in the most concentrated sense that it is in the entire Bible. The theme of mystery isn't that common in the Bible, but here in Ephesians 3 and in other portions of the New Testament, it really is predominant. While we see some striking similarities between a good novel and God's Word, there's certainly much more to the mystery that Paul talks about God's mystery is not about a page-turning pace or surprising twists or suspense. It's a story about God's love. It's a story about His grace. And that grace is a mystery that remains elusive in human sin, but a mystery that is open and known through Christ. The reason God describes that blessed gift of salvation in Christ, of His grace, in terms of a mystery, is because He's speaking about it from our perspective. In fact, at the root of this precious mystery of Christ's grace for us are some very human issues. First, we see at the root our sins. The grace of Christ is a mystery to us because it so often is shrouded in our sins. That seems a bit out of place, because when you think about grace as the Bible describes it, and when you look at what Jesus came to do, isn't it all about helping sinners out? Isn't this Savior meant for undeserving sinners like us? Isn't grace a gift that is given to people who don't have any merit or worth of their own? How then could it be a mystery to the very people that it's intended to help? Such is the effect of sin in our lives and on our faith. Paul wrote to the Corinthians about this fact and also talked about it in terms of a mystery. He said, "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this world knew, for had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, 'Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him.' But God has revealed it through His Spirit." God's grace in Christ is a mystery to sinners because our sin blinds us from understanding God, from approaching God. It's certainly not that grace isn't intended for a sinner. That's abundantly clear in God's Word. But on our own, we're helpless to receive that gift. God says we need the Holy Spirit to come to us through the Word. The truth of the matter is that without God's power, without God's working in our lives, we cannot even perceive grace in Christ. It's a mystery to us. But thankfully, God not only gives us that gift, He also shows it to us clearly. The second human issue that we encounter at the root of this mystery is a specific effect of sin in our lives, namely that we want to hoard this for ourselves. The sinful attitudes of some Jewish believers in the church at the time of Paul's writing caused them to discredit God's work among the Gentiles. They thought that salvation was just for them. They thought that if anybody outside of their nation wanted to receive what Christ had done, they needed to kind of become Jewish themselves. They needed to add in requirements from the Old Testament. They needed to act like they were a Jewish Christian. Paul knew these restrictions well from the Old Testament because he grew up as a Pharisee, if you remember. Paul was trained in these things. He knew what God said in His Word. But Paul also knew what it felt like from the Gentile perspective. Paul knew what it was like to see Jesus Christ and not having come from the Jewish culture. And that's why Paul was a missionary primarily to the Gentiles. And the message that Paul presents here is very clear. The grace of Christ is no longer a mystery for Gentiles. It's no longer something that was just proclaimed among God's people of Israel. It is a message that is meant for all people. That is the light turning on, if you will, around Epiphany, that we are all saved through Jesus Christ, that the work has been completed and finished. Paul writes in verse 6, "This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel." We are not to hoard this gift of God for ourselves and act like because of who we are, because of where we came from, we are somehow more deserving of God's grace in Christ than someone else may be, or more that God is pointed at our lives than He is at someone else's. God says we are all fellow heirs, equal heirs of salvation in Jesus Christ. This is really the message of Epiphany, that salvation is for all people, course, it wasn't only at Epiphany, or it wasn't only first through the Apostle Paul that God taught about this. You can look back in the Old Testament and see some of the most endearing messianic prophecies of the prophets point directly at the Gentiles too. That God's salvation was always intended for all people. In fact, look back even further to Adam and Eve. God promised the gift of a Savior first of all to them, and that gift would be given to the entire world, to all the descendants of Adam and Eve. The problem was that certain Christians wanted to restrict God's grace for their own selfish motives, sometimes deliberately, sometimes in ignorance. For Paul, the mystery of the Gentiles being part of God's plan of salvation was so deeply connected to the gospel that he looked at them as one of the same. Paul looked at these two things as two sides of the same coin, if you will. The revelation from God that the Gentiles were co-heirs of salvation was simply a more narrow look in the fact that Jesus was the Savior for the whole world. Four times in our text, Paul uses the word mystery, and you can look and see how he uses it interchangeably, sometimes to refer directly to the Gentiles, sometimes refer more broadly to the gospel. For Paul, both of these thoughts were intrinsic to the Christian faith and to grace in Jesus Christ. If you wanted to claim that Christ had forgiven you, but then rejected for the Gentiles, Paul says you're rejecting your own faith by doing that. Paul says you can't have one without the other. When one mystery was revealed, that Jesus is the Savior for all, the second mystery was also revealed, that he is the Savior for the Gentiles. Paul boasted that his mission was, quote, to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Paul goes even further than this. He says, now that this mystery has been revealed for the Gentiles, for all people, about the grace of Christ, he wants us to get the word out there. He wants our confession to be so clear as Christians that even the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places would know that we believe and confess that all people are redeemed and forgiven in Christ. All people today have an equal view of their Savior through the word of God. It's not given to one more than another. No person anymore should be shrouded in sin or ignorance and have this gospel proclamation be a mystery to them. God wants all to know. That's how powerful the grace of Christ is when it's open for all to see. It can even be a testimony to the heavenly places. Some might call this a great story, and it is. The story of Jesus does contain twists and turns. There were moments that were shrouded in darkness and unbelief where people thought all was lost, when people thought that God would not fulfill his word. There were stunning proclamations performed by God, miracles done in the name of God to affirm and to complete his will. And no one could have suggested that God himself would come to earth in our place and lay down his life in order to secure that grace for us. A stunning story, indeed it is. But Jesus is even more than that. There's much more to the mystery of God and the grace of his Son than a cunning plot or a surprise at the end. More than just a mystery like that, it's a story of God's love. It's a story that is simple to understand. That's the entire point of Epiphany. It's not that God's grace in Christ is such a complicated thing. It's that it's a simple thing. Because what it really is at its core is a message of God's love for us. And a message of love is simple enough to understand that even a child can grasp it. It doesn't take a wise man, doesn't take a scribe, doesn't take a chief priest, doesn't take a king to understand love. That's the story of Epiphany. That even though it became so complicated and convoluted and shrouded in times past because of our sins, because of the inclinations of our hearts to try to hoard this gift from others, at its core, it's the most simple message of all. That Jesus loves all people, and that he came to lay down his life for all. At another time in Jesus' own ministry, he spoke about this and he said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to infants." That's really what makes a good mystery from God. It's not about the literary bells and whistles. It's not about what fascinates the human ear. It's not about what stirs emotions in our hearts. It's about the simplicity of his love. And Jesus said it's so simple that it's hidden sometimes. It becomes a mystery to those who are wise and learned in their own eyes. And yet it's made known to infants. There is no more endearing or greater message for a sinful child of God than the fact that their God himself has come to rescue them from sin. There is no greater treasure. There is no simpler love story from our Heavenly Father. And this is our Epiphany word, that God has revealed his grace to us in Jesus Christ, and that grace has been given to all. Let us go forth then and boldly proclaim that. Let us have that be our daily confession as a church and as Christians, that we have a Savior that we can tell people about, a Savior that comes for all, a Savior that is not complicated, a Savior that offers you eternal life without any strings attached, a love story that is not complicated. God has made it known to us by the Holy Spirit through his word, by the completion of his Son's work. Let us now go forth and make it known to the world. Amen. Please rise.